you have brought with you a copy of the scripture this morning, I do want to encourage you to open it up with me, please, to Matthew's gospel. We're going to look at Matthew chapter number 5, verses 10 through verse number 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through verse number 12 this morning, preaching on this subject, certainties of life. Certainties of life, Matthew chapter number 5, verses 10, 11, and also verse number 12. If you have found that portion of scripture, would you stand together with me if you can, and we'll read along together in the reading of God's inerrant word. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 10. I have the New King James Version of the Bible with me this morning. The Bible says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Pray with me if you would, please. Lord God in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity again of worship and for the privilege of having a copy of your word. God, we are grateful for it because it shows us, God, the way of life. And Father, we know that your word speaks to us about certainties of life. And Father, we pray that as we think about them today by looking at these three verses of scripture, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us see, that he would help us understand what we need to know. God, I pray today that you would use me. Lord, I want to be an instrument of yours, and I need you, Heavenly Father, so I pray, God, that you would fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. I pray, God, you'd give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. How many of you have ever heard of Murphy's Law? Anyone ever heard of Murphy's Law? Number of hands go up around the room, and of course I know and understand that probably every one of us in this room, if we have any experience at all, we know Murphy's Law, which states, anything can go wrong, it will. If anything can go wrong, it will. So we are familiar with Murphy's Law, but have you ever also understood that there are several other guys out there, not by the name of Murphy, but they came up with some laws in their own? So what about Abbott's Admonitions? Abbott's Admonitions says this, "If you have to ask, you are not entitled to know. If you don't like the answer, you shouldn't have asked the question." And then there's what's called AIDS law. AIDS law says anybody can win unless there happens to be a second entry. There's Babcock's law. Babcock says if it can be borrowed, it can be broken. You will borrow it and you will break it. There's Crane's law. Crane says there are three ways to get something done. Do it yourself, hire someone, or forbid your kids to do it. Then there's Dieter's law. Dieter says food that tastes the best has the highest number of calories. I appreciate that. There's Ellenberg's law. One good turn gets most of the blanket. I'm trying here, okay? There's Gold's law. If the shoe fits, it's ugly. There's Gresham's law. Trivial matters are handled promptly, while important matters are never resolved. And then finally, there was a guy by the name of Kruger, and he didn't have Kruger's law. He had Kruger's observation. And Kruger's observation was this: a taxpayer is someone who does not have to take a civil service exam to work for the government. And I think we all could appreciate him. There are just some things that we know in life going to happen. Death and taxes, right? You can be sure of it. This morning we're looking at the last of the Beatitudes. We're looking at two of them, actually, but they deal with the same thing. And so it's just one Beatitude that we're going to look at this morning, found here in this passage of Scripture, verses 10, 11, and 12. It talks about the fact that believers are going to suffer persecution. Believers are going to suffer persecution. That's just a fact of the matter. And so what I want us to do is I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and notice today that there's three important reminders that these verses of Scripture talk to us about. The first one that I want us to see is this. We see it in verses 10 and 11, and it's this: rejection is certain. Rejection is certain. Notice how the Lord Jesus Christ says this here in verse number 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. The Lord Jesus Christ was telling people that were trying to live a life that would bring God glory and to bring God honor, is that if you're trying to live this kind of lifestyle, know that this kind of lifestyle is not a lifestyle that's going to be accepted by everyone. He says here that rejection is certain. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, he says. Every one of us understands about persecution. We think of persecution that takes place in a broader context of people that are martyred for their faith. And we certainly know and we recognize that there are places in the world that you have to worry about being a believer in Jesus Christ. There are places in the world this morning where people are gathered together on the Lord's Day in secrecy and in privacy, because they know that if it is known that they are followers of the Lord God of heaven, their life is going to be required of them. When we think of persecution, we think about that being persecution, and it is. None of us wants to be in that kind of situation. None of us want to be in a situation where we deal with open persecution. And we think about open persecution of those that are persecuted and imprisoned simply because they are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But did you know that there is another kind of persecution? Maybe it's not open persecution, but it's hidden persecution. Someone that is passed over for a promotion because they will not party with the clients. That's persecution. I think about a young man or a young woman who is persecuted in their neighborhood or persecuted in their school simply because they won't do some of the things that other students are doing. That's hidden persecution. I think of someone who gets in trouble with his family because he tries to witness to his family. That's hidden persecution. You see, in the good old U.S. of A., we don't necessarily have to worry too much about open persecution. What we have to worry about is hidden persecution. And Jesus tells us here in this passage of Scripture, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I can remember the first time that I really ever dealt with persecution. It happened when I was in grade school, actually. I had some friends in grade school that were, and I was one of them, I have to say. We were picking on a certain person in our classroom that wasn't the most attractive person, and this person was a little bit overweight, and this person was a little bit slow. So in our class, we would make fun. We would wisecrack about this person. And I'm sad to say that I was guilty of doing such. But I can remember summer getting out one year, and it was getting ready to start school again the next year. And sure enough, classes did start, and sure enough, this person came walking down our halls, and sure enough, two of my good friends were standing there, and the persecution of that person started again. Then I stopped them. I said, hey, guys, wait a minute. You mean to tell me we're going to do stuff like that again this year? I'm like, I'm not going to have any part of this at all anymore. And, you know, and I lost two friends on that day. And I didn't understand it to be persecution at the time. But now I understand it's persecution. Because I didn't want to participate in those things that would not bring honor and glory to God. That's hidden persecution. How about you? Have you ever dealt with any kind of persecution like that? Please understand this verse of Scripture. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Please know that rejection is certain. The second thing that I want us to see and understand here is that not only is rejection certain, but rejoicing is commended. Look at the text. Notice what it says in verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Lord says, rejoice and be glad when persecution is coming your way. Blessed are those which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why should we rejoice when we are being persecuted? We should rejoice when we're being persecuted, because we know that we're followers of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, much of what we've learned and much of what we've been taught in this culture and society that we live in is based upon where our focus is at. So too often in this world, our focus is on the wrong thing, right? We're focused on the negative that happens to us. We're focused on the bad things that happen to us. Perhaps we can be focused upon the persecution that might come our way. But what Jesus is trying to do, he's trying to tell these people that when persecution comes your way, you need to not necessarily focus on the persecution, but focus on why the persecution has come. And why has the persecution come? It has come because you are a follower of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is something that we ought to be able to rejoice about. The problem with our culture and with our society is that we're not persecuted. When was the last time you were persecuted for being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know, maybe. Not too many people are known as followers of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You should rejoice when you carry the persecution that the Lord Jesus Christ has carried. Rejoicing is commended. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Here's the third thing that I want you to see in this passage of Scripture, is that your reward is being constructed. Now, notice what it says here in verses 10, 11, and 12. It says here in verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are persecuted, it says, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Drop down to verse 11 and see that it says it again in verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And then he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It provides to us confirmation that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are persecuted because we are acting righteously, that shows then that we are born again. Ours, you see, it is the kingdom of heaven that we are interested in. Confirmation. You are a son, you are a daughter, you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ when persecution comes. That gives you confirmation in your heart and in your spirit and in your soul. And you should be able to rejoice, because persecution then is an indication that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus. It provides to us confirmation that we're followers of God. The second thing, part of the reward, not only does it provide for us confirmation it supplies, it provides for us a crown. It secures for us a crown. Notice what your text says here in verse number 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven when you are persecuted. Jesus says that our reward in heaven is great. Couldn't help but be reminded about the book of Revelation when the Lord spoke to the church of Smyrna about a church that was going through persecution. It says this there. You could turn there if you wanted to. But in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this there. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna I write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. He says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you might be tried, and you shall have tribulation a 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, he goes on to say. And then he said, and I will give you a crown of life. Reward for being a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you suffer persecution, he says, understand that your reward is coming to you. Your reward is being constructed. He says that reward gives you confirmation to know that you are a follower of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you remain faithful to Him, it secures for you a crown. And then it talks about a comparison. I love the end of verse number 12. If you'd look at the end of verse number 12, it says this there, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You're being compared to the prophets when persecution comes. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says this, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you. Don't fear persecution, because persecution demonstrates that you are a follower of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when persecution comes, if you endure it, God says there is a great reward for you in heaven. You have a crown that is being prepared for you. When persecution has come, you are most like the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's a certainty in life? Certainty in life is that we will be rejected if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That is 100% for sure. If you're a follower of Jesus, somewhere along the line, someplace today or this week, you're going to suffer persecution as a result of it. It might not be the overt persecution that you think about, those being hunted down and incarcerated and murdered because they're Christian. But it'll be persecution nonetheless. You'll be put in an awkward situation. You'll be in a difficult circumstance. And you'll notice that when you proclaim that you are God's person, people are going to treat you differently. That's a certainty. Just know it. Persecution. It's a reality of life. They persecuted the prophets. They persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ. They persecute those that are faithful now. And they will persecute you for your faithfulness. Know that for certain. But here's a little barometer test for you. Think about this for just a moment. Do you personally deal with persecution? Do you have it? See, the Scripture really does say, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. So if there is no persecution coming to us, could that mean that we're not living as God would desire for us to live? If there's no persecution, there ought to be conviction. Is there conviction in your life? If there is, you know what I'm talking about. If there isn't, perhaps you need to deal with God. Deal with God in a simple kind of way. Say a prayer, something like this. God, I know that I'm not living the way that I should. I'm not causing attention to be given in a positive way to your precious name. And I'm sorry for that. Would you forgive me? And would you help me to live a consistent, godly kind of life? And God, whatever that brings into my life, I will accept it. And I will wear it as a badge and honor. Because you suffered persecution for me. The prophets suffered persecution. All that live godly suffer persecution. And God, I want to live godly and faithful for you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an opportunity for you to respond to that. The altar is going to be open, and we're going to give an invitation. What an invitation is, really, is just an opportunity for you to come and speak to God. This altar is here, and you'll meet God here in this place. If you want to talk with somebody, to have somebody to pray with you, I'd love to do that. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But let's deal with what God has spoken to us about this morning. Let's make sure that we're living for Jesus Christ. Because if we're living for Jesus Christ, there's going to be a great reward for those of us that are. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we do come before you today in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to come here and to hear your word. Father, we thank you for speaking to us in it. And God, we pray that as we consider how our response should be to it, Father, we pray that our response would be that we want to be drawn into a deeper relationship with Jesus. So, Father, I pray that as we extend this invitation, that your Holy Spirit would draw people to a place of complete and absolute surrender. And I do pray this prayer in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.